trouble if you don't do a good job. And,
don't worry.
We won't tell.
So over the past few months, I've been praying for and wanting to make a maximum impact for God. I'm not trying to become some sort of super Christian, and I don't feel like I'm being called into some new type of ministry, or that I'm trying to be called into missions. I'm just trying to find out how I can maximize my impact for God, working with the people I work with, and being with the people I am, with my neighbors and my friends. There's definitely a need for people today to do some of those amazing ministries, to help the poor, to help those who are hurting, to help the outcasts, and we always have a need for people in missions to go to other countries and share the gospel with them, and to go in different parts of Canada to share the gospel with them. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about trying to make a maximum impact to those you interact with on a daily or weekly basis. We want to make a difference in those people's lives that we work with, socialize with, or go to school with. And so I'm starting to create a series of messages that I'm calling Letting Your Light Shine. And this is the first message that I've created in this series. I want to challenge myself to do a better job in making a difference in the lives of those around me. And I want to help others who want to do that to do the same. It all starts with a desire to let your light shine. I'm going to do something. I'm a teacher. I'm not a pastor or a preacher. I trained as a pastor, and I saw Gene Harris here today, and I was telling my friend Leon that Gene Harris has been in my life since I was a teenager. When I went to Bible college, she would send me like gifts and thank yous, and she was always there supporting me, so it's great to have her here today. And I trained as a pastor, but I was called to be a teacher. So I don't know if you know anything about education today, but things have changed a lot. And one thing that you can't do is talk 25 minutes straight and expect kids to listen. They just don't do it. So I decided this morning I'm going to do something a little different. I brought my guitar. I don't want you to fall asleep. I'm going to just try to intro my message this way. And I hope you know the song, This Little Light of Mine. Okay, that's a pretty easy one. So we're going to try this today. Don't tell my dad. Okay, so I don't know if my guitar is too, but we'll do the best we can, okay?
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, you got the words? That's good. If you can, stand up, and this time, we're going to pick it up a little bit. I got a purpose in this, and we're going to clap. And if you get into this, you can stamp your feet or dance or whatever you want to do. Here we go. Ready?
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Not bad. Can you get a seat? I'm gonna show you a video, hopefully if it works, of this little light of mine.
Shine!
Impact that when people saw our lives, people saw the way we were living, people saw the hope that we had, the love that we had, the joy that they had, that they couldn't help but join in. Amen. They would want to see what we had. They wanted to dance. They wanted to sing. They wanted to jump in there because it was amazing to watch. And I still think, I dream of the day when I could live my life in such a way that people around me would look and say, I want what he has. Because it makes a difference in the way he lives. And that they would want to clap along. They would want to dance along. They would want the hope that Jesus Christ can bring in people's lives. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 4. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The first point I want to make today is that we are the light of the world. There is no doubt about that. Now, this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus was talking to a bunch of people that were listening to him, but he was probably zeroing in on the disciples who had followed him up the mountain and were probably sitting down in front of him. He was saying that if you've accepted him, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are light. You are the light of the world. And we have to let God shine his light through us as we do our best to live for him. The concept of being light is also clear in Paul's writings. You can see in Ephesians chapter 5:8, it says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Now, the Greek word used in all three of these verses is phos. Okay, I think I'm saying that right. Phos, for light. And all it means is something that emits light, that gives off light. The fact is that Christ's light should shine through us, and it should be able to be seen by those around us. That's why Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And I think the location of these verses is actually really important. I'm going to back you up a little bit to Mark chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. And it says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Then Jesus goes on to talk about how we are salt and we are light. And I think that verses are important to realize the location, because he just talked about the fact that some people get persecuted for what they believe. And if you look at it, you realize that both salt and light can influence you in good and negative ways. Salt is really good because it preserves food, kills bacteria, prevents infection, and adds flavor to the food. But if you get salt in a wound, it hurts. It causes pain. If you get salt in your eyes, it hurts even more, because your eyes are sensitive and it stings, right? If we have salt and it's used in a way that is not going to help us out, it can hurt. Light is similar. It illuminates what is in the dark, and it is used to guide people where to go. But those who are doing things who don't want to be seen don't want to be in the light. And if you are in a lot of darkness and you walk into a very bright room, it hurts your eyes right away. So light can be good and bad depending on how it's received. I think people around us will respond similarly. We are the light of the world. And yet there are people around us who don't want anything to do with that light. John 3:20 says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." Jesus knows that if we're living as Christians, there will be those who are drawn to the light, but there will also be those who reject the light. I was witnessing a couple of years ago to a person who I knew was an atheist. I sat down with him and I talked to him about some of the things that I believe. A couple weeks later, I think it was, maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, I came across a friend who knew this guy and said, "Did you see what he posted on Facebook?" And I said, "No." And he said, "The guy posted on Facebook that the world would be a better place if all Christians were dead." And I thought, man, I guess he didn't like the light that I was shining. Right. And so there will be people who respond very negatively to what we believe as Christians, and we can't help that. Our calling is to be light. Secondly, this leads to my second point, because we are light, people will look at us. A light shining in the darkness draws others to look at it, sometimes out of curiosity, but sometimes because they want that light, they want to be in the light. My friend Leon and I go ice fishing, and we were up ice fishing up here at Chesley Lake, but this past week we were up fishing near a place near Dunville, and we walked out through a marina and out on the ice, and we were fished until dark, and then we came back in. And something he pointed out when we were coming back in is we just got to look at that light, and I realized there's a little tiny light at the entrance to the marina that I did not notice when we were going out, because when you're going out, it's not very bright. But when it gets darker and darker, that light shines and you can find your way back to the marina, to the entrance of the marina, because it shines really bright when it's really dark. Christians are called to be the same way. We are called to be that light that should point in the direction of Jesus. When people see us, we have that light shining out of us, it should point toward Him. Amen. Jesus said, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." There's a purpose in that. It can't be hidden. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And if you're shining out your light, you are going to be looked at. You are going to be seen. People are going to be analyzing what you say, what you do, because they want to know what you're all about. You say you're a Christian, people are going to be saying, "What does that mean?" And they're not going to be looking for you to explain it. They're going to be looking at you to show it. Let me give you a little example. I don't swear, and some of the kids I teach find that fascinating. The last time I swore, I can tell you the story, but I'm not going to tell you. But I swore in grade 12, and I swore, I think, first year of university, and that was the last time I remember. And the kids find that really weird. But I'm out golfing this past summer with a couple I'd never met before, and I'm golfing along, never said anything about my faith, never said anything about my job. I'm just golfing along, making enough bad shots that I probably should have been swearing. And what happened was, by the 10th and 11th hole, every time they swore, they right away apologized. Yes. And I didn't say anything about that. And I realized that here's two people that don't know me, that right away it stood out to them that I didn't swear, and they felt like they should apologize every time they did. Now, I'm not sitting here saying what we should and shouldn't do, and whether swearing is good or bad or anything like that. I'm just saying that people are going to notice the way you live your life. They're going to notice what you say. They're going to notice what you do. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We are not supposed to approach life the same way that those who don't know Christ do. Our faith gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us love. It should be producing the fruits of the Spirit in us, because we are attached to a vine that produces those kinds of fruit. When there's a branch attached to a vine, it is going to produce the fruit that that vine is supposed to. Right? That's what trees do. That's what vines do. And if we're attached to Christ, we should be producing love. We should be producing joy. We should be producing peace. We should be wanting to serve. We should be wanting to forgive. And we should be wanting to help others. Being in Christ should cause us to want to do those things. We begin to see the things of this world as very, very temporary, because they do not last. And yet we start focusing more on people because we know they last forever. Our switch happens. If you watch the world today, they focus a ton on material things. And I'm not saying it's bad to own things. I'm saying that's not our focus as Christians. Our focus on Christians is not what we have, it's who is in our lives, because those people will live eternally. And we need to care, we need to pray, we need to love, we need to do all we can to have a maximum impact on those people's lives around us. Now, living that kind of life is not easy. You can read Paul talk about it in Romans chapter 7. He struggled to live the way he wanted to, and we also will struggle the way we want to. But I want you to understand something. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian. Only ordinary people who serve a good and perfect God. I want you to think about that. There's no such thing as a good person. No such thing as a perfect person. Only people who serve a good and perfect God. And that's the message that we need to show the world today. Number three, the key is desires. Where the light is placed matters. It says here that neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. People don't put a light under a bowl if they want it to light up the room. As a matter of fact, they will look for the best place to put that light so it maximizes the impact of the room it's in. And a light, if you're in a dark place and you've got that option of dim or medium or high, if you want to have maximum impact, if you want to light up a dark place, you turn that thing all the way up. But I have to admit to you, as a teacher in the public school system, I often find myself with my light on dim, or at the most, medium, right? Because it's scary. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to turn people off. And I feel like I got to do a better job of making that maximum impact. I have to admit to God that I don't want my light on dim. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. Everybody in my school that knows me knows I'm a Christian. But I'm not doing my maximum and letting them know why. What difference it makes. And I can tell you, since starting these messages, every single week almost, I have shared something about my Christian faith with somebody in our school. And the reason why is because I am looking to make that kind of impact. And I believe through my prayers in the morning that God has given me the opportunity to start sowing those seeds. As a matter of fact, it's a little scary for me. I'm actually more scared preaching next week than I am this week. Because next week I'm out of church, and it sounds like my workroom might be coming to hear me speak. And a lot of them don't know Christ and don't go to church. So they're joking about it, and we're going to find out this week if they are. But I know the one guy probably is, and it sounds like a bunch of them are going to make the trip, right? And I want to make maximum impact. So you can be praying for me this week that service next week goes really well, because that's what I'm looking to do. We need to ask ourselves, do we really, really want to have a maximum impact with the light that we have? Or are we making excuses for why we don't? Are we spending enough time in prayer for your colleagues, your friends, your neighbors? Are you seeking God for wisdom and power and direction? Are you trying to be more selfless and putting others' needs in front of your own? Are you trying to live a life that demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit and sets an example of integrity and good character, obeying both God's laws and our country's laws in order to not just please God, but be the best example we can on the people around us? Those are tough questions, but they speak directly to my desire to shine that light. If we do have a desire to maximize our impact, we must admit that the way we live matters. This is my last point. The last part of those verses says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The way we live makes a difference. If we want to see God have a maximum impact on the people around us, we need to care about how we live. We try to follow God's laws, not because we're trying to earn salvation, but out of our response to His love for us, which He demonstrated by sending Jesus to die for our sins. And God also knows what's best for us. That's why He gave us this word. I've had conversations at my school, and I say that I believe that the Bible is true because I believe God created me, and this Word of God is going to show me a way to live to maximize my life, not limit my fun. It's going to show me how to have a maximum impact on others, but also how to get the most out of the life that Jesus Christ has given me. We have this hope of eternal life, and that should cause us to want to follow God's laws out of a heart of gratitude. A way I can illustrate that easily is this. If the coach of the Maple Leafs, Craig Berube, called me up today and said, I'm going to make your dreams come true. I'm going to give you one game where you can play for the Maple Leafs next Christmas. You get one game. I know it's been your dream to play professional hockey. I'm going to give you one dream, one day, that you can come out on the ice and play a few minutes. What do you think my actions would be between now and next Christmas? Do you think I'd be sitting there and not putting my skates on? Do you think I'd be just like doing my normal everyday activities? Not a chance. I'm going to go to the Maple Leafs, and from this day, I'm going to be training every single day, getting in the best shape possible. I'm going to be getting on that ice. I'm going to be practicing my shot. I'm going to be practicing the skating, not because I think I'm going to earn a spot on the Leafs, but because when I get out there, I want to show that Craig Berube gave me an opportunity, and I took advantage of it. You know how many people do not know Christ and would love to have the kind of faith and hope that we have? I remember talking at a party once to a guy, and he said to me, Ron, I want you to tell me something. And I said, what's that? And he said to me, why have I gone to church, and I've heard the same stories and the same verses that you have, and I don't believe it, but you do. And I talked to him about faith. I talked to him about how he could just find his faith and believe in Christ. And he just walked away from that, not. But you know what I walked away from is a better appreciation for the gift God has given me. There's something there where God calls us and we answer. And the fact that you are able to be here today with a faith in Christ is something that we should not take for granted. It is a gift of faith that God has given us. I don't want to say a lot more today about how to live, but I'm going to go through a whole bunch of verses and let them speak to you. And you can read them on the screen or listen to me as I say them. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Titus 2:7 and 8 says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. 1 Timothy 4:12, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Philippians 2:14, 16, do everything, this is a hard one for me, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Why? Because then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. John 13:34-35, as a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. 1 John 5:3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And finally, Ephesians 2:8-10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I find these verses very clear, but very challenging. God has told us how to live in order to maximize our life. But we must guard against bringing any sort of glory to ourselves. This is all about shining God's light through us. It's about pointing people in the direction of Christ, because he's the one that's good. He's the one that's perfect. He's the one that can save them. He's the one that can be the best example for them. We simply are trying to live a life that honors God in response to what he's done for us. And we hope that he's able to use the way we live to have a maximum impact on others. So my conclusion is, am I living my life in a way that maximizes my reflection of God's light, so that how I live demonstrates his love and grace and offers a way of hope to a world that so badly needs it? I am challenging myself to live with more purpose. I want to pray for more direction and wisdom. I want to pray for my unbelieving friends, neighbors, and colleagues. I want to read and live according to God's word the best I can, so I can maximize my impact on those around me. I am a light because I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. They are going to be looking at me because I'm a Christian. And I need to have a desire to live every day for God the way he wants me to. And I need to look for opportunities to share that light with others. I enjoy campfires a lot. And I used to sit there and stare at campfires at Chesley Lake Camp when I worked there. And you watch it go right down to when it's just burning coals. That's all that's left. You've all seen that, where it's just a few coals left. If you want to get that fire going again, there's only a couple things you can really do. You can start breathing on it, which is what I usually do. You just breathe on it, you blow on it, you fan it, and it fans back into flames. Another thing you can do is take something that's combustible, easily catches fire, and you throw it on the fire, and it'll often heat up and start on fire again. And if you want to keep that fire going, then you've got to add some more firewood when you get the flame up. And I was thinking about it, a lot of Christians are in that kind of camp. Their flame over the years has become kind of a dog cold. It's on fire, like you have the light, but it's not shining the way maybe you want it to. And there's a few things you can do to get that flame burning again. A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit will help us become inflamed again and feel like our fire is burning, our light is shining. Getting involved in a new ministry, this idea of the grandparents ministry might be one of those things. Saying, God, use me. Use me in something new and exciting that gets me focused on making a maximum impact on you. Looking for opportunities by praying and reading God's word and just saying, God, show me someone to reach out today. Show me every single day someone I can be a light to. The thing is, it takes a desire to get that fire going again. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I feel more like a burning coal than a roaring flame. And I want God to refill me with his spirit, to re-energize me in ministry, to make a difference in my life so I can make a difference in others. And if you are, I'd like you to pray with me before we go to communion. And just pray that God will change and motivate you to become the roaring flame that you want to be to the people around you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your son Jesus has died on the cross for us. We thank you so much that you have given us a light. We are light because you have become our light. Father, as we try to have a maximum impact on those people around us, I just pray for those who just are struggling to fan that coal back into flame. Father, I pray you'll fill them with a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'll bring ministry into their lives that will get them excited again about what they can do for Christ. Father, I pray that you will call them to pray daily to make a difference in the people's lives around them, their kids, their grandkids, their colleagues, their friends, their neighbors. Father, give them opportunities every single day to make a difference in someone's life so that you can use them to bring light into people's hearts around them. Father, I just pray you'll be with us now as we go into communion. I pray you'll be here in a special way. Guide us and direct us and help us to remember what you've done for us. In Jesus' name.